Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is May 12th, 2025. This is your WWE Raw post-show review. I am Sean Ross Sapp. We had WWE Backlash this weekend, had nice coverage of that. The unfortunate loss of Sabu as well. I want to send our love to his friends, his family, his fans, of course. We shared some memories on a different show this weekend as well. But I just wanted to kick off by sending some love his way. WWE did a nice tribute, both with a graphic and a series of images of which Michael Cole and Pat McAfee discussed his legacy, even gave a little shout out to AEW's Taz in it as well. But I want to send our love there. This he was a hugely influential figure. When you see stretchers, whenever you see tables used to the degree in the manner that we do now, and barbed wire and wrestling, Sabu was an enormous part of that. When you see the Hayabusa 2 character, I mean, Hayabusa, a lot of the look inspired from Sabu as well, but just want to show him some respect at the top of this show. If you're watching, please leave a thumbs up, drop a fruit emoji in the chat. We would greatly appreciate that. And we just want to hear from you. We want to know what you guys want to talk about this WWE episode or this episode of Raw. Not a ton happened. It felt like a placeholder show for reasons that we will discuss, but by God, we've got plenty to talk about. As always, we have tons of videos here at Fightful. We have an awful lot of honestly really great content coming your way this weekend or this week, guys. We had a video with myself and Jimmy Van where we covered Remco Matt Mania figures. We have Kenzie Page, who is the youngest NWA World Women's Champion of all time, talking about how she attacked Natalya at Bloodsport and their match this weekend. Tomorrow we have Steve Macklin talking about the bloody dog collar match. We had Good Brothers, their first words after leaving WWE. Just a ton of stuff there. But let's go ahead and talk about this show. There were so many people that messaged me and they're like, oh, you at Raw tonight? And it's an all due respect. I love wrestling more than anything. But I was like, you know, unless there's media opportunities, I don't typically go to episodes of Raw like that. Now, if it's at Rep Arena, 3 miles from my house, well, I'll probably go because I can just drive home and do the post show right after that. But with this one, a little bit over an hour away, I didn't see a lot on the docket to where I was like, I got to go. And in seeing this show, I'm certainly not looking at things and regretting passing up on this one. We'll say that. So some notes, by the way, we had a free post on FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the business. We had news on WWE Evolution. Now, PW Insider had mentioned the Atlanta weekend, same weekend as All In. Those dates I have also heard. But in following up on that, I asked Talent, hey, what have you all heard about this show? And Talent unanimously is like, we haven't heard anything about this show. We haven't heard a peep internally about WWE Evolution. So if it's happening, they don't know about it. The wrestlers don't. So I'm not saying that it's not happening. Absolutely not. I would almost expect them to double down and try to get more media out there for Evolution weekend and Saturday night's main event weekend to not be in Dallas for All In. But the Talent haven't even been told about it. Kind of wild. Let's get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Our wonderful moderator, Luis, will take them down. And we'll answer your questions as you got them. CM Punk comes out, cuts a promo, and he says, this is a place that I can call home. And listen, that's kind of flattering to hear him say a place in Kentucky, but a lot of that has to do with his time in OVW, which they shouted out OVW again on TV later on in the infographic. But he's a guy who spent, not an incredibly lengthy amount of time in Louisville, but just under a year or so, I want to say, before he moved up to the main roster. I know it was about a year now that I think about it, because he finished up on, I remember he finished up on my birthday in 2006, and he had been there for about a year. But he also came back a number of times and worked matches. Like, I remember that over 2007, 2008, he came back a few times and, funny enough, teamed with Colt Cabana a couple times as well and did some matches. But he's a guy who has wrestled in OVW in Louisville, gosh, in OVW itself, like 70 times. But like, if we're talking about just Louisville itself and the Kentucky area, man, he's been around. He's been a fixture, a mainstay in that area, which I don't think he did a lot of indie stuff out here, because listen, all the commission rules and all that BS. But yeah, he's definitely somebody that has history in OVW, and that was cool to see. But that's probably where I thought the promo peaked. And I'm going to need to see something else out of CM Punk than what we saw here. He called Seth Rollins a Timu CM Punk, and I was like, huh? I don't see the comparisons here. And then when Seth Rollins came out, or Paul Heyman came out first after he said he wanted to wring Paul Heyman's neck, but then Seth Rollins comes out, and CM Punk is like, and then the bell rings. And I'm like, what are we talking about? And then the bell rings. Like, are we acting like he's not a good wrestler? We're acting like Seth Rollins on the run that he's on right now is not a good wrestler. That match with Jey Uso, that WrestleMania match, that one-on-one match with CM Punk, the Chamber match, the Finn Balor match that we saw, the match with Drew in January, the Raw and Netflix match with Punk even. This man's been having bangers all year long, and he is no stranger to having bangers. And like, calling him a song guy, I was just like, this is just patently, it's completely false. Like, completely false. I don't get it. It's like calling Steph Curry just a passer. You know what I mean? Like, Steph Curry can pass the ball, for sure. He's good at it. Fantastic point guard. But he also shoots the three as well as anybody in the league. And right now, Seth Rollins wrestles as well as any man on that roster. Like, what are... I don't get it. I don't get it. The song is like below the in-ring, below the presentation, below the promos. It's just good. You've got a great song. I didn't quite understand that. But I got to agree with Seth Rollins. He said that CM Punk left Paul Heyman out to dry on the road to WrestleMania. And it's true. He did. Of course, they lay the smackdown on CM Punk, and Sammy gets involved. Jay gets involved. Of course, Braun Breaker is involved as well. All right. Backstage, we see CM Punk and Sami Zayn having their little conversation. And talking about how, you know, it's okay. We don't quite trust one another in these situations, and that's all right. And I'm not quite sure of where that goes afterwards, because we know where the world championship program is headed. We know that, and we'll talk about that later. But Sammy and CM Punk, I would like to see them end up having a match. It's getting to that point of the CM Punk run where it usually gets where sometimes his promos like sort of blend in to reality, but it's a little bit more difficult to cheer him. You know what I mean? And we are, what, 8-9 months into him being back in the ring? And that's usually the shelf life of a by God babyface CM Punk. I think he really thrives as a heel. But I think you've got your top heel solidified here on Raw, so I don't see him going that route anytime soon. But like against Sammy, hard for me, if they go that direction, hard for me to imagine him getting cheered. I'll tell you what I was cheering this weekend. Us going 5-for-5 on our Bet Online AG picks, including our lock pick, the main event, which I felt was fairly obvious. But listen, it could have ended in a situation where Cena retained, but got DQ'd. You know what I mean? That with as bad as they made his babyface run, they could have done that. But Bet Online, please just bet what you can and please bet responsibly. But it isn't just pro wrestling. It's the NBA playoffs. It's the NHL playoffs. Hoping my Maple Leafs come back. It's WNBA season getting started. Go Indiana Fever first and foremost. But pro wrestling this past weekend, we gave you those betting tips on FightfulSelect.com and we went 5-for-5. And you might have said, well, Sean, but it's so easy to pick that. Well, then go make yourself some money, by golly. Go do it, because I picked the underdog, Lyra Valkyria. Man, I mispronounced the heck out of that. Had that underdog pick. Listen, our underdog picks are a very, very high rate as well. Our lock picks are now like 26 out of 26 since we've started. So they truly are lock picks. You can compare their pet competitors. They are trusted by millions, and they have a VIP rewards program, the fastest payouts, which land in minutes. Safe and secure online environment and the highest credit card acceptance. So excited for the upcoming AEW Double or Nothing. We always have interesting lines on AEW shows, and we usually do pretty well on those as well. But listen, yeah, boy, at FightfulSelect.com also gave you some good UFC picks this weekend. I had Valentina Shevchenko to win, obviously, but there was an over-under of 5.5 as Lupangi Vice says, how about JDM? Incredible win, incredible fight. But we had the under on finishes at 5.5. I just looked at that card and I didn't quite see how that was going to go over five. It would have had to have been six finishes. I just didn't see it. Didn't see it. Wasn't going to happen. But man, really, really happy with how we performed with Bet Online this weekend. Let's get to some super chats and humper chats. Sir Brendo says, cherry Pop-Tart, sir. Much love for the Fightful fam. Listen, I kicked up some controversy on the World Wide Web, as sometimes we're known to do. Favorite Pop-Tart flavor, and mine is discontinued. I grew up on unfrosted cherry, and that's what I like. Frosted cherry's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But I love unfrosted cherry, and they don't make it anymore. Unfrosted strawberry ain't quite the same, but like just a perfectly toasted unfrosted cherry was so good. Don't have to worry about the icing scalding the roof of your mouth or your lip or your tongue or anything like that, because listen, sometimes that stuff runs way too hot. You end up getting a little burn ski on your tongue. Not with your boy. I can't believe that hate. There is no more discriminated against group on this planet than lovers of unfrosted Pop-Tarts. I'd be willing to say that on the record. I don't think that would be a controversial statement. The most discriminated against human beings are fans of unfrosted Pop-Tarts. What'd we ever do to you all? We're just over here living our life. We're not forcing our lifestyle or our agenda on you just because you like frosting on your Pop-Tarts. Leave me alone. Let me live my life. Pop-Tart didn't even let me live my life. They took them off the shelves. I remember one time Tyler, the Creator, said that he knew that Frank Ocean was gay because he liked unfrosted Pop-Tarts. When Frank Ocean came out, he's like, oh, I knew. It's because he liked unfrosted Pop-Tarts. And I was like, wait, I like unfrosted Pop-Tarts. What's going on here? Hold on a second. Need to try the Pop-Tart ice creams. I kind of would like that. The most discriminated. Are you sure about that? It's either that or Android users. Speaking about Pop-Tart ice creams, like, are they individual? Like, are they like single serve or is it like ice cream? I can't believe they don't make a Reese's stick ice cream, man. That would go hard. That would go real hard. I'm lactose intolerant, though. I can't eat it like I used to. SRS, how much for Trey Hendrickson? Arizona will give you $5. Well, listen, for $5.99, you can get Fightful Select, but if they would have signed Trey Hendrickson last year, they could have got him for $25, $26 million a year. Now it's going to cost $34, $35 million, and the price goes up every day. Meet Normus says, yesterday I watched your girl Masha whoop Timothy Thatcher's non-British ass, and all I can think about is her with Marina and Shayna versus Julia Hart, Sky Blue, and Ariana Black. It would feed nations a meaty or vegan. Well, she's under contract for quite some time. She re-signed recently. So that ain't going to happen anytime soon. Heard of any potential matchups for Worlds Collide? Bruins, I haven't, but I'm going to dig into that this weekend. I'm going to like ask throughout the week. Pop-Tarts are ice cream sandwiches, and they're always looking for sponsorships. I would love that. Listen, I signed with the wonderful Buckwald Agency recently, so I would love for them to get some stuff rocking with Pop-Tarts. I would love that. But, hey, listen, drop me some super chats and humper chats about Pop-Tarts. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Some things for next week, by the way. Braun Breaker versus Jey Uso, because Braun Breaker attacked Jey Uso backstage. We got AJ and Penta against Finn and JD. We got Sheamus and Waller after Waller tried to get Austin Theory another match there. And Austin Theory was one step ahead. Plus, Money in the Bank qualifiers start this week. Very excited for that at the very least. So, Penta defeated Chad Gable. You know, the kind of match that you would expect from these two. Really good in-ring match. I actually like was really torn on the finish, and I'll tell you why I was torn on the finish. I love that the Mexican Destroyer won a match. I love that that continues to win because that move should rise to prominence again. The Canadian Mexican Destroyer, a front flip pile driver, should always be like a like the way I call it, he ain't going to be in Rush Hour 3 type of move. If it doesn't lead to a pin, it should lead to a breakup, or it should lead to somebody's foot on the rope. I don't think people should be kicking out of that. Now, Dave Cost says, Graps were fire tonight. Gable Penta was my favorite match, then the main, then AJ Finn, even dug that Raiders American-made bout. Guess what? No DQs. What a world. Likely why I loved it. Still a little bit of interference, but I didn't much mind that. The issue I had with this finish was Chad Gable waits until he gets up in top rope Frankensteiner position, then like cuts the promo on Penta And then Penta, Sierra, Miedo. And I'm like, what? Why are we doing that on the top rope? Why are either of them doing that on the top rope? I find that more egregious than any flippy shit. Come on. Still, Mexican Destroyer getting a win after that really good match, I'm good with. No DQs, even though you had his involvement a little bit later on. But those are the things where I'm like, let's not do that on the top rope. Oh, hey, look at this. FightfulSelect.com this past weekend. Gonna do that one. We had reported that Mina Shirakawa was imminently making her appearances in AEW and set for a bit of a push. She has been announced along with Izumi, Sky Blue, Tony Storm for the Eliminator match. So she is back imminently, as FightfulSelect.com reported. We had a big week last week, guys. Chelsea Green re-signing, Willow Nightingale contract year, Mina Shirakawa back. My God, who else was there? Tekla officially signing, Goldberg Gunther. We had big old fat just hanging down to our knees scoop skis last week for $5.99 a month. And that Discord that you get with the $5.99 a month as well. Yeah, Penta and Chad Gable, big shocker. They have a good match. Creeds and the War Raiders did as well, but it proved to be pointless. This was not necessarily, I don't think this was listed as a number one contender match, right? But it was heavily implied that that's the case. Now that I like. It's so funny because New Day are supposed to be the heels here and commentary acted like they were in the wrong for wanting people to deserve title shots, to earn title shots. And I'm like, no, this is what I've been begging for a long time. Let's do that. And of course, New Day got involved and interference. I didn't need it, man. I didn't need it. We saw it again later on in AJ and Finn. Fortunately, it didn't happen in the main event, but I don't need everything to be a distraction or interference. I don't need it. Not everything. There can be some nights where none of it has any of that. It buries the ref. It buries the authority figures. It buries the baby faces when they don't have somebody there for them. Like, stop leaning on it so much. So much. Shout out to New Day. Their commentary was incredible. Like when Michael Cole goes, "Oh, Ivar is 300 pounds. One of New Day said, "That is not to be celebrated. That is actually a problem." That popped me. That was very good. And the Julius Creed, it was like a slingshot. I don't want to say slingshot. It was like a hanging deadlift suplex to the floor on Eric. And then there was a really great kip up there. They're incredible. They get the win with the, what the hell is it called? Is it the Brutus Ball? Is that what it's called? But later on, I can't remember if it was on the show or what it was, but it was revealed, oh, well, Creed's War Raiders versus New Day. I'm like, what's the damn point of the match? Why'd you have the match? If everybody gets the damn thing, what's the point? Phenomenal performers, though. Really good match. That's the thing. The matches are always good. Almost never. On WWE TV. Unless I'm watching NXT sometimes. Is there like a bad match? And you are more privy to have bad matches in your developmental territory. But when I'm watching Raw and SmackDown, I almost never see bad matches. I see bad finishes a lot. I see bad booking even more often than that. But I don't see bad matches. I don't see bad in-ring work. It's very polished. It's very good. To the point to where, like, when I was watching Pat McAfee the other night, and he was, you know, a little rough around the edges because he's, you know, not a polished worker, it felt so out of place on that show as a result. Still enjoyed the match, but it did feel a little out of place in that situation. Also, yeah, crowd wasn't great on this show. Crowd was not lovely on this show. I mean, that's Louisville for you, buddy. That's Louisville. Maybe if you come here to Lexington, things aren't so bad. We'll see next month. I think I'll be there. We have a Judgment Day segment backstage. Dominic is like, Finn, you were kind of late to help me in my match. I could have lost. Finn's like, don't worry. My bad. I'm taking care of AJ also. Handling that. So they also did this thing where they talked about how far Liv was. FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the business, revealed last week that Liv is actually wrapping up filming this weekend. I think she finishes up Friday is the last day of filming, and I believe Saturday is when she's supposed to head back. Now, that being said, I don't know if she is going to be at next week's Raw, despite that. I mean, possible, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, of course, she's gonna be immediately back. She could, and knowing her, she probably would. Raw is in Greenville, South Carolina. But if you don't have her worked into the Saturday night's main event plans, I would say, you know what, just probably have her come back in Tampa. You know, don't, or she could maybe make an appearance at Saturday night's main event, because all that stuff's in Tampa. They're doing like what, 4 straight days there. But I'm not expecting her back next week. But if she is back, you know, it speaks volumes about her dedication. AJ Styles and Finn Balor did have a good match. Again, good match, distraction-ish finish, interference-ish finish. But Penta shows up, lays out JD McDonagh and Carlito. Listen, man, Carlito knows his role, and he knows it so well. And he even said that in the interview that we had where he spoke with Fightful's Joel Pearl. It was like, man, I had my day in the sun. I've had my prime. I am happy to bump for these guys. Taking one bump is a lot better than taking 6 or 7. He doesn't wrestle a ton these days. I'm going to see how often he wrestles. But he's also a valuable character for what they're doing right now. And he doesn't need to wrestle as much. He's had 2 matches this year. 1 on TV. Oh my God. I didn't know it was that rare. So he had the Battle Royal. And let's be real. Probably the bumps he took in that Battle Royal was him getting thrown over the top rope. His last televised match besides that was in November, and that's the only one since September. Now, I didn't know it was like that. What a phenomenal gig. I say that after he gets, you know, absolutely obliterated with Spears, right? They are letting him surf. Hell yeah. He got announced for his father's promotion as well. Because there was I can't remember who it was that was like, oh, well, more talent exchanges for WWE. They're going to do something with Puerto Rican.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.
Company WWC, and then I was told that it's Carlito. Like, come on now, it's not like not like Bron Breakker is going there. He's going to the company that he's wrestled in a whole bunch of times. Like, pretty normal. But AJ Styles, Finn Balor had a good match. I love the is it 1916 is the name of that? The basically seated curtain call from back in the day. Oh, man. Love that move. And I got sold a ticket on that as well. I thought that that was the end of the match. I either that it was going to be the pin or a Bloody Sunday. That's what it was. Bloody Sunday. Or that AJ forgot to kick out or something like that. That's what I thought was happening there. I was like, oh my God. Like it was close. But again, good match. Natural progression of this story for Finn to, you know, question who was there for him and who wasn't there for him. You know what I mean? I'll tell you who's always there for you. NordVPN. If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check it out, guys. Nord is so versatile, especially if you're a wrestling fan. You can watch Raw without commercials. You can watch everything. If you got Netflix, you can watch SmackDown, NXT, all that good stuff with NordVPN.com/Fightful. What else do we got? Jey Uso segment. He comes out and then Gunther interrupts. It felt like Logan Paul has been so absent from this storyline on TV. And I mean, I'm just not bothered as much as other people were by his involvement in this. He won a match against AJ Styles at WrestleMania, gets a title shot. I'm fine with that. It's just, he had a lot of title shots and never wins the big one, but or qualifiers. But what they did was they kept his segment off TV last week, then showed it this week and touted how many social views it got, which good. I'm glad it did well, but it's like the second straight week he wasn't on TV and one week he could be. But I honestly think the match will be all right. It'll get a lot of heat. I'm not as bothered as other people were, but Gunther comes out and informs Jey Uso that he faces the winner of the Saturday night's main event match and does it at it's early June in Phoenix on Raw. I think it's June 9th, which I love them building a title match on Raw a month away. I saw a lot of people say, oh, another pay-per-view that he's not going to defend it at, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, well, what's that? What's Saturday night's main event? That's effectively what it is at this stage. It's not as big as others. It's a broadcast special, but listen, man, WWE Raw pays them an awful lot of money too. They got to put some big title matches on WWE Raw. Matthew Ham says, any idea who Jay drops the title to and when? I would expect Seth Rollins this summer. That's where I'm expecting it. Dave Cost, our dude, says, promo-wise, Open was great. Love that they booked the tag for Saturday night's main event. Makes that show must-see. Jay's promo was terrific. Becky's You People was well-crafted. Dug the content. Just a hair long-winded. Well, we are about to talk about that because I thought she did a phenomenal job shutting down the what chants. I cannot imagine what kind of geek you have to be at this stage. Grown adult male geek going to a wrestling show and chanting what at a wrestler in 2025. I am fully aware of freedom of speech and they paid a lot of money for their tickets. They can chant what they want. Yeah, they can. And guess what I can do? I can get on my own podcast after the show and call them absolute geeks for still doing this in 2025. It was old within 2 or 3 years. It is Stone Cold Steve Austin's hugely negative contribution to pro wrestling, despite the fact that it was massively over in a run that most people otherwise forgot in that era of Stone Cold's career. And that's the thing that lived through it. What an absolute dork you have to be to go to a show.
What?
And if you say it on Twitter, you know what happens? Those dorks always show themselves.
What?
Dorks. Dweebs. If you take it, I'm telling you, if you take a girl to a wrestling show and you chant what, she's going to look at you like you are an absolute moron. Dave Cost, yeah, I agree. The promo was a little long-winded, but I liked the message. She said that she did miss wrestling, but she liked herself a lot more when she wasn't wrestling. And from what I understood, that was very close to reality. Like, she enjoyed her time off. She liked gardening. She liked hanging out with her kids. She liked acting. She liked being able to do those things. And was very happy to do that. She revealed she had a skin condition that popped up in January because Fightful Select reported in January that she had been signed but wasn't planned for the Raw on Netflix show. I don't think she said anything wrong. I was curious as to where Lyra was this week. You know, notable omission there. After having a phenomenal match against Becky Lynch at Backlash, just a really, really good match. But KE775 said, I'm cool with the Becky promo direction now. They need to make sure she wins matches and keeps bragging about it until Bayley comes back. So the thing I liked about this is she is playing off of the internet criticisms of her. She is like, I'm about to hold down your favorites. They are going to get held down by the man. And listen, if people think that, go ahead and capitalize on it. Go ahead and do it. Didn't Lyra break her nose? I'm not sure. But if that's what happened and she sat one out, no problem. No problem. She looked badass with the face mask, though. She could pull that off. What about all the weirdos talking about her fiance this weekend? Acting like her fiance is not one of the most booked independent wrestlers outside of WWE. That man wrestles like 100 matches a year. Like upwards of. A regular in NOAH. He wrestled in New Japan as well. Like, put some respect on LJ Cleary's name, brother. Like, I know he did the Clark Kent gimmick and had some glasses on and his hair was a little frizzy, but my God, bro, like dude's a good wrestler. Works his ass off. Just strange, man. Just strange. Black Yakuza says, since he's not competing at Money in the Bank, I assume Seth or Jay is dropping that title at Night of Champions, 2 years to the event that Seth won it at. So, I mean, I wonder if Night of Champions, like that Saudi show, will be also, you know, the five-match formula. I wonder if they will follow that. Because last year, they did like six matches there, right? Because they did, it was Bloodline against Roman Reigns and Usos, which was a big match. They did the Fatal 4-Way for the women's tag. Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed, Liv and Nia, LA, it was the U.S. title match. And then they did the Crown Jewel Championship match. So, like they had a six-match show on that one, which, again, large by WWE standards. King of the Ring was a six-match show. Crown Jewel 03, if I remember right. It was like eight matches. That's before they really, really pared it down. But if they do like a five-match Saudi show, well, that would be a bit of a trend breaker there. As for him losing the title there, that's tough to say. That's tough to say. Listen, they're going to do at least one title change there. They got to at least give the illusion that that show is going to be, you know, something that you got to tune in for. We have the Rusev vignette. It feels like their format is Rusev live appearance, Rusev vignette, then you swap it. And I'm okay with that. Even though he got into Zawa's face last week, he was like, you've wasted your potential too. And you got to be shown that respect. And don't worry, I'm going to save you. I'll save you from yourself. I like the Redeemer thing, especially in this particular angle that they're doing. Like, the Redeemer was always a pretty kick-ass gimmick angle story to have, right? Like, I always thought it was really good, and obviously he can play it off very well. However, in WWE, I specifically like it because WWE can pass the buck off of their own booking of talent and say, well, now Rusev can also beat them up, right? Like, he can utilize that bad booking. Well, I wouldn't even say bad booking. Like, Tozawa is where he is right now. I think he could have a good NXT run, but he is where he is. But I'm digging that. But Tozawa's not cleared. Natty and Maxine were with him backstage. Sheamus is there, shows him some respect, and announces the Waller match. We do have Money in the Bank qualifiers starting this Friday as well. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. We're already at the main event on this uneventful show. Top three in-ring matches off the top of your head you'd love to see for Evolution 2. My brain is running wild with possibilities because the women are money. Julia and Io, Rhea and Bianca one-on-one, and AJ Lee, Lita, and Trish against three others. That's what I'd like to see. I would like to see those. I've been given no indication that AJ Lee is returning, but put her in that. You have that type of match. I would love that. But Bianca and Rhea one-on-one, I think is worthy of that as well. Worthy of main eventing that, if not a Mania in the future. But yeah, I would really love to see the legends being worked in that capacity as well. Io and Rhea against Roxanne and Julia. So let me just say this. Roxanne Perez is now 1-15 in TV and PLE matches. At what point do you expect your audience to stop taking her seriously as a threat to winning matches? Now, that being said, she is a phenomenal performer. She's one of my favorite performers in WWE. She is a prodigy. She is only 23 years old. But let's run down her history on the main roster. She got called up, lost the Royal Rumble. Okay. They effectively wrote her off a couple weeks later. They could have by having her lose an NXT women's title match. Then she wins her way into the chamber. Great. Hell of a way to introduce her, right? Phenomenal. Then she and the Judgment Day beat Bayley, Bianca, Naomi. Great. Great. So not 1 in 15. She's won at least a couple on TV. Elimination Chamber, she ain't going to win that. I got no problem with that. But then they're like, well, also, hold on now. Let's just hang out in NXT and you can lose to Jordan Grace and Kalani and Steph and who else? EO and Jordan. Like, just really have you lose your way out. Okay. And then lose all the time on TV too. I will say this. She is losing to Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Tiffany Stratton. There is nothing wrong with losing to those talent. But can we give her some wins in between this? Can we give her some wins in some of this? And Julia ain't doing much hotter right now. Let's pull up Julia real quick. Let's pull up Julia's last however many broadcast matches. Lost tonight, lost to Jordan. Whew, some scary spots there. I want to say this. People were giving Jordan crap about the inverted side slam. That one was on Julia. But lost to EO and Jordan, lost to women's four-way, lost to Stephanie. Ain't won a match since mid-February. We're talking 3 months in. I have long said this. You need to condition your audience immediately to believe that these women are threats. And a tag team match would have established them as threats if they won this match. The same finish that you apply to Roxanne and Julia, the miscommunication finish, just do it with the two people that are clearly about to have a title match. No, we didn't skip your super chat, bro. We'll get to it. Don't worry. Just, you could apply it there, build their match, and then build these two as a threat. But they don't give a shit about tag teams. Don't give a damn about them. Also, one other criticism, I would have probably told, if I were a producer or whoever booked this, I would have probably said, Roxanne, Julia, do not dress like you are teaming with Rhea. I don't want to roll up. I don't mind like a small package, anything like that. I don't want some little roll-up pin. Give them something definitive. That'd be fine. JT says, what's the direction for Cross, Julia, and Roxy? Cross doesn't get booked. Roxy has lost every match. Julia hasn't won a match in a while. Well, we did cover that. With Cross, they did have him backstage talking to New Day, and he was handing him one of his shirts, which are apparently selling very well. But the audience was very loud on Main Event for him, I'm told. I watch Main Event every week, so I'm excited for this. But I heard that the crowd was like really, really good for Cross tonight. That man is getting over. And I don't know why they're keeping him on Main Event. But yeah. I think they need to capitalize on him. Could you see Roxy or Julia in Money in the Bank? I could see them both in Money in the Bank. They should both be winning top contender or qualifier matches to get in there. They for sure should. By the way, I just want to say this. That Julia double underhook superplex is a work of art. Bless the person taking it. It ain't easy to protect yourself on that, but it looks incredible. I love that she uses the snowplow as well. And I had super chats there, and they are gone now. Luis, please put those back. But them coming up, Roxanne and Julia, it definitely, like, they need it on the main roster. They for sure need it on the main roster, but it does leave a big void in NXT. And K775 says, what's the point of bringing in Roxanne and Julia if all you're going to do is beat them? Yeah, I get the feeling that there was, that there would be, you know, they'd be in Money in the Bank. So it's going to be natural that they probably aren't going to, they might not win that. Then they might feud with each other. I know they did their little split angle in a vignette backstage, but I'd love to see them feud. I just don't know who would be the babyface. Roxanne wrestles like a babyface, but she's really gotten good as a heel. Also, I want to credit Io Sky, who has just continued to get more and more over. I have long said that I believe that she is the most consistent in-ring performer WWE has, but far beyond that, Io Sky has become a phenomenal sports entertainer, like riling up the crowd. And then at the end of the show where she and Rhea have their hands raised and Rhea is shooting that look. And then Io's like, uh-oh. Io is able to transcend language barriers in the form of sports entertainment and does it so well. And she's so likable too. Like she wrestles and performs and responds in a very likable way. She does that. She's getting so good at that. Like even the nonverbal stuff. And that coupled with her being the most consistent in-ring performer in WWE. I mean, got to be her or Seth at this point. Gunther, although he's had different kinds of matches this year. Did you see Cross teasing the Righteous as a team? I did. I think that's him probably doing a favor for his fellas who are now out of ROH and AEW. But WWE had interest in Vincent and Dutch in December of 2022. I'll tell you guys about this tryout that happened. It had Vincent and Dutch of the Righteous. It had Kylie Rae, who is now under a WWE ID deal. And it had KC Navarro, who now teams with AJ Francis and a really good tag team in TNA called First Class. So, like, all those people got signed. I don't know who else was there. Maybe I can find out. But it was like a specific wrestler-only tryout. And I had mentioned this earlier. You leave a void in NXT bringing up Roxanne and Julia. You can't replicate people who chose to be wrestlers as opposed to people who can be recruited. There's always that type of feeling. You can see it in the work in NXT, and that's okay. Some people move beyond that. But you can tell when somebody was a wrestler before NXT. And you need talent like that. And all four of those people got effectively put on ice. And a lot of people did because Vince McMahon, Leroy Jenkins, his way back into WWE. So they're like, hey, guys, sorry that we had you come do this tryout, but we've got a hiring freeze. They were wanting to bring back Naomi at that point. They had talked to the Tongans then as well. Switchblade Jay White, there was issues around that, and none of those people got to be brought in as a result of it, as a result of that hiring freeze. Does the loser of Jordan and Stephanie at Battleground join the main roster? So that's another thing. Like, listen, both of those women could be on the main roster tomorrow, but I'm like, man, that NXT women's roster without Jordan Grace or Stephanie. And I kind of think Jordan should just move up to the main roster. I was shocked they sent her to NXT to begin with. Like, why do you have this woman getting a studio apartment in Orlando? She's been on TV for the last 6-7 years. She does not need NXT. She's familiar. She knows where the cameras are. All right. She's good. Does she work a little Japan? Yeah, she does, but she's all right. But I do think that the loser probably joins the main roster. I just think it might be closer to this summer. I don't know, man. I think that one, I'm looking at the women's roster right now. And I'm not saying there's not good talent there. But I do think that you need some ring general talent there as well. Because they got a lot of people that I really like there. But I think you definitely need some veterans that will work there. And just looking at the course of how things are, I'm like, listen, I also wouldn't mind if you're not going to use Nikki Cross, or if Mi Chen doesn't have anything really extensive or valuable or anything like that on the horizon creatively, please let some of the NXT talent learn from them for like a month at a time. So I'm looking at that as well. But also, I feel like you almost need everybody that is on the main roster at this point. Unless you don't do anything with Zoe Stark, like, please send Zoe Stark to NXT so she's doing something. Something. Oh, man. We had a severe lack of Pop-Tart Super Chats and Humper Chats tonight. I want to say I'm disappointed in you guys. I know you'll do better. I know you'll work at it and try to send me more Pop-Tart Super Chats, but by God, I know NXT has a ton of women. It's not the fact that there's not a ton of women. A ton of experienced women who have worked on the main roster that people can learn from as well, I think is very valuable for NXT. And I think there should always be like one or two people down there. Honestly, listen, there should always be, I think, two to three women who have navigated Japan, the Indies, main roster, something like that in NXT at all times, because it helps that talent. You should have people like Ethan Page and Sean Spears and even Noam Dar. Ridge Holland has worked the main roster. Even if he's not, you know, the best in-ring performer, you have those people that can do that. And yeah, Roxanne is, at her age, a ring general, Bad Robot, but you're absolutely right. She's been on TV her entire adult life. Entire adult life. Guys, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It is the best $5.99 a month in the business. And I'm there talking with you guys all week on Discord, Select Answers, Q&A shows. I pop into the Sour Grap shows all the time. Just a lot of fun over there. Right now, if you're not done talking Raw and you want somebody to really bury it, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, because that's what they do over there. YouTube, we have live post shows almost every night, but I did like a 40-minute live stream on TikTok. We have signed with TikTok recently, and I'm doing that a lot more. We also have a lot more content on Instagram and Facebook. This is me pleading. If anybody has a Facebook contact or Meta contact that can have me or our site manager talk to somebody about getting our Facebook and Instagram monetized, please hit me up. I am not experienced in that, but I gotta know somebody that is. We have never had our Facebook and Instagram monetized, and that would definitely help us quite a bit. So if anybody has expertise in that area, I would greatly appreciate that. Also, follow Fightful Espanol. Luis, we should probably talk about expanding that into other platforms, as Rocky Romero gave me some useful advice, or confirmed some useful advice that you gave me as well. But check that out. Thank you all so much. Join us tomorrow. Hey, you know what? I love you too, John Wick. John Wick, one game, one GM. Are you one general manager? Are you one game? Or are you one gram? Either way, I love you. Appreciate you guys. Until next time, we are out.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise.
same-game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.